only shaper of life and grace, you have shown us the cost of being your people. We give thanks for the crosses that are ours to bear and for the strength to carry them. Teach us your ways in the reading of your word. Help us follow the path of Jesus, who shows us the way. Amen. The gospel reading is Luke 14:28-30. Pew Bible page is 1623. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? Or if you lay the foundation, you are not able to finish it. Everyone sees you will ridicule you, saying, "This person began to build and wasn't able to finish."
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, help us today to understand the cost of being your disciple. May the words of my mouth be pleasing to you, and each of us learn about discipleship and the great cost that goes with it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So as you walk around the grocery store, one of the things that you see immediately is all the price tags. And you're immediately bombarded by a lot of the number 9. Have you ever noticed? There are 9s everywhere in the grocery store. And, you know, it's a psychological trick, right? Everything ends with 99. Why? Because you think it's cheaper, right? $4.99, you think, well, that's not $5. Great, right? 99 cents, $3.99, $4.99. You go, okay, there's a lot of prices here. And as you're shopping, you know, you think, all right, everything has a cost, all right? But as you're shopping, you realize that it's truly hard to understand the full cost of everything that you're putting in your cart, right? You're making decisions on individual levels, but halfway through your grocery trip, man, you think you could guess exactly how much you're about to spend in that grocery cart? I have zero clue. So when you're checking out, it's only when you're checking out that you get a full reckoning, right? The receipt that the person hands to you, right? That's the final tab on the decisions that you made while you were in the store. And things can get out of hand very quickly at the grocery store. I don't know if you feel this way, but I feel like things get out of hand real fast. Small purchases start to add up quick. All those 99s start to actually mean something to your bank account. As the cashier is beep-booping all the food that you bought, beep-boop, 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 and the receipt starts to grow larger and larger, right? You see that little screen, and it just keeps getting bigger, and you see the total list down there. If you're like me, you start having some buyer's remorse. You think, did I really need that second frozen pizza? Should I have grabbed that candy bar? Yeah, I should have grabbed that candy bar. And you have to decide right then and there whether you're willing to pay the cost. Are you willing to pay the cost for your decisions? And the checkout line is where you face the music. And if I made a lot of bad impulse decisions, if I was shopping hangry, have any of y'all been hangry? Y'all know what that is? You're hungry and making you angry, hangry. Or if you gave in to temptation a little too much while you were shopping, the cashier becomes your judge, jury, and executioner. And she looks at you, or he looks at you and says, "Look at what you did. Look at this. Are you going to pay up for these decisions?" Do you have your Kroger card? Now, this is the kind of full reckoning that is rare in life. This is why I love the grocery store, because it's like instant karma, like John Lennon said, right? You can't be in the grocery store, you check out, man, you face the consequences, right? But in life, that doesn't happen that often. In fact, I wish we had a lot more cashiers in our lives who were willing to just say, look at what you did. Right? And in fact, we do everything in our lives to not face the music, to not pay the consequences of our decisions. I think each and every one of us is guilty of this. We do so much contorting and twisting like we're on a twister board, trying to get out of ever facing any consequences in our lives. We do a lot of weird stuff. We lie to others. We lie to ourselves. We blame others for the things that are happening in our lives instead of us having to take personal responsibility for the decisions that we made. We play the victim. We love to play the victim. Oh, they did this to me. It wasn't my fault. Do whatever we can to get out of actually facing the consequences of our decisions. What we don't do is take responsibility for our actions, own up to them, acknowledge our mistakes, apologize, move forward stronger. We need more people who are willing to give us a full accounting of the decisions you have made soberly and intentionally, and then say, pay up, deal with it, make it right, stop avoiding paying the consequences. It's the fourth step in AA. Any of you ever been through AA 12 steps? The fourth step is make a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. I'm going to go see a friend next week in Denver, Colorado. And whenever we get together, I am the person who calls him out. I have known him so long, and I know all of his patterns. I know all the bad decisions he makes, particularly with women. And I always say, to him, what are you doing? What are you doing? Don't date. Why are you dating this girl? What are you thinking? And I call him out. And then he calls me out on my stuff, which is fantastic. So we have this relationship where we see each other and we immediately have a full accounting of all of our mistakes right then and there. I hope every single one of you has a friend like that in their lives. People who love you enough, who are willing to call you out and say, hey, stop it. What are you doing? That's a mistake. We need those people. And you would think that we get burned enough times by our bad decisions, by the consequences, not facing the consequences of our decisions, that we would learn before we make bad decisions, that we would stop, consider the cost of making such a choice. But I find that we don't often consider the full consequences of our decisions. Mostly, we only consider the short-term, immediate rewards, and those rewards cloud our judgment. And they lead us down some dark paths, and we don't see the reckoning that's going to be happening down the road. I found out recently that a person that I was close to for several years was being indicted by federal charges for bank fraud, right? Person I was close to, knew well, trusted, respected, loved, knew the family was, they were the family that if I would want to be adopted into this family. This is how much I loved them, right? And I find out recently that he has been probably frauding this bank for years with a group of other people. And it blew my mind. I was like, what? How could this happen? Why would he do this? What was he thinking? And I'm thinking, did he even think about the cost that he would pay if he got caught? Was he willing to lose everything for the short-term gain that he had received? And if he was, why? Why would you make such a choice? And I, as I'm judging him, I would like to think that I am so much smarter and future-minded than this. That I know deep down that I am so much better than this guy, right? That, oh, I don't make short-term decisions like this. But I know I'm not. I know in many ways I'm just as guilty as he is. I constantly make decisions where I don't even think about the cost, or I am willfully ignorant of the consequences, or even worse, I just don't care. Because its short-term rewards are too tantalizing and too interesting to me. I allow anger to cloud my judgment. I speak without seeking to listen, and I often have no conception of the long-term cost I will pay for such a decision. Jesus doesn't hold back when it comes to facing the cost. He wanted his followers to know up front what it was going to cost for them to be disciples. And the words we heard today were spoken to a large crowd of people who had come out to see him. And Jesus said, "You follow me, you're going to pay some pretty heavy costs." And Jesus said, "I'm going to show you the price tag right up front. I don't want you to come back at me and say, 'Oh, I didn't know this was going to be all this.'" Jesus says, "You have to love me, the way, the truth, the life. You have to love me more than anything else. That will cost you friendships. That will cost you family members. That will cost you business relationships because of the way that you love, because you love the way that I love." And Jesus says, "Your possessions, if you want to be my disciple, you better be willing to part with every possession you hold dear, because I am calling you to something greater than a nice house, a decent car, and a large screen television. I'm calling you to help me bring resurrection to the world, love to the unloved, justice to the trampled on. And if your possessions are holding you back, they gotta go." So what Jesus says to them, to kind of illustrate this point, is he tells them a short parable about building a tower. Towers were common in vineyards at the time. They allowed the farmer to be elevated to see all of their land, all of their vines, so that they could protect it from foraging animals and thieves. It was a good way to protect a rather large investment that the farmer had in these fields. So Jesus says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, will say, 'This person began to build and wasn't able to finish.'" Sit down and estimate the cost. Can I afford to pay the cost, or is the price just too high? If we take this on faith, if we take this faith on, this faith that Jesus has offered us, and we truly live it, and I mean live it, we will pay the cost every day. every day of our lives. Because our faith will call us beyond short-term satisfaction. And it will demand more of your life, a life of service to build up others through love. It'll ask you to sacrifice envy. It'll ask you to sacrifice greed that leads you on dark paths of temptation. And your faith will lead you to see yourself for who you truly are, not the image you project out into the world or the lies you tell yourself. It'll tell you that you are both a child of God and a sinner who can do better. So sit down and consider the cost. Which costs are you willing to pay in your lives? Those of a life centered on faith and service to Christ, or those of instant desire centered on your own selfish needs and wants? Because here's the deal. One of those is life, and the other is certain death. So today, consider the cost. Which price are you willing to pay? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.